daughter called me from Virginia several years ago to tell me about going to a meeting to where a message was brought on Lazarus. And she told us, Miss Alicia, how it impacted her. This was not long after my daughter had gotten married and moved away, and I told her, I said, you can't drive that far. She said, Dad, I'm married. I have to. But she called me, and she told me about the message, and this is what the title was, Do Not Bury What God Says Is Sleeping. She talked on the phone with me, and I could tell she was emotionally touched by it. She told me, she said, sometimes our faith might be quiet. Our life might not be moving. But God knows how to wake us up. We need that in our lives. If you got your Bible this morning, I'm going to be reading out of Mark chapter number 13. This is something that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. The title of the message today is Watch, Perhaps Today. I had a preacher preach one time. He said that he had a little sticker that he kept on his computer in his study, and it simply said, Perhaps Today. You know, I've got little sticky notes. I'm a sticky note person. Some people, they do different things. I remember when the little touchpads came out and you wrote in code. And the guy that I was working for at the time, he tried to teach me how to do it. I said, I'm staying with the sticky notes. But I've got sticky notes, and I've got one that says watch, perhaps today. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. And I look at it a lot, and I pay attention to it, and maybe I look at it too much, maybe not. But I want to be watchful. And I think the church needs to be watchful. Now, I'm going to read this scripture from verse 32 to 37. We may go back and touch on some different places in this scripture. But what I want you to watch and see for yourself as we read this scripture is that four times in six verses, Mark uses the word watch. And he's speaking here, obviously, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and Mark just penned the words, but he's saying, watch. Pay attention. Be watchful. And then I want to just kind of go through this and just share with you the things that God has laid on my heart. But in the book of Mark, chapter number 13 and verse number 32, and written in red, Jesus said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Now what he's speaking of here is the return, the imminent and definite coming return of Jesus Christ. He said, of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, folks, I believe we need to be watchful. One thing we realize, and I mentioned it before, life is more than just what you see and what you have. It's more than going through high school and going to college and getting your first house and having children and building a career and buying stuff and having stuff. It's more than having fun and taking trips. What life is it's temporal. I got a message this week from a friend, a customer, while I was in a meeting, and it popped up on my phone. Man that I know, and he said, I just want to let you know that I have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He said, now everything about my life and my future is in God's hands. He said, I am going to continue to fight, but it's in God's hands. He said, I want to thank you for the years of the service and the relationship. And he said, I want to ask you to continue to work with my son and my daughter. And he gave their name so that they can continue to move forward with the business and take care of our customers. And as I read that text and I thought about it, I thought about, it's really not about this. Not about aluminum and glass and the things that I do. And it's not about what you do at your job either. Wasn't that long ago that I was part of a funeral for a friend of mine, not associated with work, but this is another person that I had worked with for years. This guy's 2 years older than me. He has a daughter the same age as my daughter, graduated from high school the same year. I've talked to him and known him for years, all the way back to that time. But I got a call, and they said that he had passed away. I stood up before a mixed group there. I mean, there were people from all of our competitors in business, and I began to speak, and I spoke about this friend of mine. His name was Ray, and I said, Ray was a great guy, but what we ended up getting right down to is it doesn't matter what your association was or why you knew him. It wasn't about what we have in this life. We come to the point that what really matters begins to really show up. And what really makes a difference in our lives is whether or not we know Christ. If we look at what's going on in the world today and things are changing, and some people are saying this. They're saying, I never thought that we'd ever see it get to this point again. Folks, there's enough going on in the world today that America needs to put aside her differences, join hands and get in the altar and begin to pray to God that God would bring us together. We need to be watching. Now, there are three meanings that I want to share with you, just the things that I have about the word watch. Number one, I believe when Jesus spoke to him and he said, watch, I think it means to be aware of what's going on around you. You can be oblivious to what's going on in the world today. And I've made the comment a couple of times, I don't watch the news. I've got to where I can't hardly stay away from certain news now just because I am very honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm concerned about what's going on in the world. And as I begin to look at it, why am I concerned about it? I want to tell you something, church. I'm concerned for all of you. I'm concerned for my children. I'm concerned for my grandchildren. I'm concerned for a world that doesn't know God. I'm concerned for many people that I don't even know around the world that are suffering. There have been many people try to predict when Jesus was going to come back. It's gotten to the point that there's so much distance put between us and some of those predictions, maybe we even forget about them. But do you remember a guy named Edgar Weisenhoff who predicted 88 reasons why Jesus would come back in 1988? That book's an antique. May 21st, there was a guy that predicted, his name was Harold Camping. He predicted that the Lord was going to come back on May the 21st of 2010. That's come and gone. I hadn't preached on this subject for a long time, and when I got out my notes and I began to look at them, I thought, Lord, I thought it was lining up for you to come then. Wow, look at today. You remember when the Mayan calendar ended? The Mayan calendar ended on December 21st of 2012. People all over the world were talking about something's going to happen, because the Mayan calendar is coming to an end, and there's something to that. I remember Y2K. Y'all remember that? Oh, they were panicked. All the computers are not going to work. I remember the guy that I worked for at the time, he was running around Y2K, and I thought, well, if the Lord comes back in Y2K, I'm going to heaven just like I would have last year. Can I remind you what the scripture says in verse 32? It says, no man knows the day. And this is the thing to understand when you begin to study eschatology. Eschatology is the study of end times. Nobody gets it perfect. You can read after this one. You can read after that one. What's funny to me is you read this book, and he's contradicting what's in this book. I remember when I used to preach on a radio broadcast, one thing that disgusted me is I'd get on there and preach about eternal security. He'd come a guy behind me and preach, well, you could lose your salvation. Don't listen to that preacher. I thought, Lord, have mercy. No man knows the day. However, this is not an excuse for being ignorant of what's going on around you. You know, what the scripture says, if we look at the scripture and you go back to the fifth and the sixth verse in this book of Mark, it tells us that this would be a time of great deception. It said, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Sometimes the world likes to mock these people that come and they put these religious cults together and they get people to follow them. And sometimes there are things like what happened in Waco, Texas and what happened with Jim Jones, and it causes the true message of the cause of Christ to be distorted to where people don't want to hear that there is a God in heaven and he does have an expectation and that he will return. Because there's so many false religions in the world. But all the false religions that are coming and lining up in the world today are actually fulfilling the scripture of the things that would happen. That one thing that would happen in the last day is a time of great apostasy. Apostasy is falling away from the truth or falling away from a standing position. But you know what concerns me more today than the false religions, and I could name a bunch of them, is being in a society that thinks that it doesn't need God. A godless society, is a society that's filled with humanism, or that my self-worth or what I believe, that if I believe it's true, then it's true. And if I don't believe it's true, then it's not true. That every person has to be their own God. They have to make their own way, and you have to be a self-made man. No self-made man will ever make it through the gates of heaven. You will only make it by the grace of Jesus Christ, accepting him as your personal Savior, because you cannot do it or make it of your own. You know, it's a time of great deception. The deception of false religions is one thing, but most concerning is the deception of people saying, I don't need God. Yes, you do. Because without God, you have no hope. You know, not only a time of great deception, but it's a time of world destruction. And folks, it concerns me what I see going on in the world today. The last 100 years plus have been the bloodiest time in the world's history. If you go back and you consider, you go all the way back to, you know, what really happened in this country during the Civil War, and you come forward and you look at all the wars up to there, but then you get into the time of what they call World War I, World War II. What was that all about? It was about people wanting more and more and more. It was about imperialism. It was about people not having care for others. Sometimes when I see what's going on in the world today and I see the conflicts and I see what's going on. Now, folks, you realize last time I preached this or even got anywhere near the scripture, Ukraine had not been invaded by Russia. The Chinese army had not built a navy that's bigger than any navy in the world. And they're stealing technology, building planes. And you think, why is all this going on? I'll tell you why it's going on. Because the Bible that says, until Jesus comes, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I look at it. I look mostly on foreign news channels because I don't believe none of these over here no more. And I look and I see them interviewing people where their school was blowed up. And I see people sitting around a campfire trying to stay warm. And I see little children crying that have no shoes. And I think all this money being spilt on weapons to kill your neighbor so you can take their stuff, so you can take their wheat, so you can take their economy, and you can take their land because you want to be bigger than everybody else. And people are starving to death. And it breaks my heart. And I think, God, you ever thought about it this way? God, if I wish I could just get this one over here and this one over here and sit down at a table and say, what are y'all doing to each other? What are you doing? Men are dying. Hundreds of thousands of men already have died. People are starving to death. People are going hungry. People are doing without clothes. They're doing without heat. They're doing without water. And why? I'm thinking about it as a Christian. I'm thinking about it as a preacher. And then I read God's word, and he says, are you watching? Are you watching what's going on in the world today to understand that every time that a cannon is fired, every time a plane drops a bomb, every time a missile shoots and it hits into a place, an apartment building, and blows it down, it's fulfilling the scripture that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse and worse. See, some people thought that by developing NATO or by doing this or doing that, we would cure the world of wars. We would put ourselves in a position that we would never, ever have to talk about World War III. You better be watchful. Because if you look at what's going on in the world today, I want to tell you something. Christians need to be watchful. We need to be paying attention. We don't need to be found sleeping, but we need to be looking because while I'm not all concerned about these things, this is not the end for us Christians. It's just fulfilling the scripture because he said these are the things that would come before I come. You see, I believe, and I've heard this said by a preacher that I think very highly of, that until Jesus comes, there will be no more generations without war. And he talked about how that radical Islam had declared war on the United States. Why? Because if you go to Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible speaking of Israel, he said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And I'm just going to tell you where I'm at in regards to that, folks. Those are God's people, and we need to stand with them no matter what. And because if we want God's blessing on us, we need to be doing what God wants us to do from this place. Because those in the world today, I know that every person in America is not a Christian, but they look at us as Zionists, and they look at us as if we are. Why will there not be a generation without war? Because imperialism will not go away. Wanting to be first and rule over others. And because evil men and seducers, the Bible says, will wax worse and worse and worse. You know, as I read this scripture, one thing that it talks about the things that would happen as we get close to and prepare. Now, folks, let's just pause right here for just a minute before we move forward, and let's just admit something to one another. When I go through this scripture and I read it, I'm looking for God to show me when the church is raptured out. I mean, I want the church to be gone. I want the church to be gone before the world gets to the point that we see all the difficulty of all these things. Because one thing that it talks about in this scripture is the persecution of the Christian people and how great that it would be. Now, here's what I want. I love the book of Ruth because it gives us a picture of where Ruth was in the field and Boaz went into the field where she was and he took her out. That is a type of Christ taking the church out of the world. I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know when that day is. So I'm not trying to preach up here like a prophet. I'm just telling you to be watchful. I want the Lord to take the church out. But what are we going to have to see before? Because one thing, when we look in this scripture and it talks about the persecution of the church, folks, let's just be honest. We haven't seen a lot of that. You say, well, I've been persecuted. I've been persecuted at work. Well, I have too. I've been persecuted at my school because if I stand up for Christ, people make fun of me. I have too. My wife and I, we both graduated from the same high school, and we talk about it sometimes. Do y'all know that most of those teachers that taught us have already passed away from this life? The ones that, and I can remember, my wife said she had one particular history teacher that she would go into class and she would carry her Bible to school. And, you know, you're made fun of. You're made fun of if you're not like everybody else. You're made fun of if you don't live like the world and you don't act like the world and you don't get invited to the parties. But does that really compare to what's going on in the world today? I think the answer is no. Because if you look at the persecution of the church outside of the United States, that's where it's at. You know, in America today, we have rights and we have freedom. You know, if you want to burn a flag, you can burn a flag. If you want to stomp a flag, you can stomp a flag. Some of these people need to go over there where they're being persecuted. Go over there where they're hungry. Go over there where they don't have freedom, where they don't have rights, where they don't have jobs, where you can't be an entrepreneur and start with nothing and end up being a millionaire. They'd come back saying, yes, I believe this is still the greatest country in the world, because it is still the greatest country in the world. Attacks against Christians have increased by over 300% in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. There are places that you can just say you're a Christian, and if you don't deny it and accept Islam, they will persecute you and kill you on the spot. I want to tell you something. Afghanistan is not a place you'd want to visit. Thank God for what we have. It also means it would be a time of world disasters. If you look at Mark chapter number 13 and verse number 8, the latter part of the verse says, there shall be earthquakes in diverse or many places, there shall be famines and troubles. You know, what amazes me is they spend billions and billions of dollars to fight in war, and people are going hungry. People are starving to death. When if people would just learn and understand that we ought to love one another and care for one another, what could be done? But if you look at the national disasters, and I begin to look back at some of these, I was actually thinking about most recently this earthquake in southern Turkey and northern Syria that killed over 40,000 people. I mentioned last Sunday, I listened to a testimony of a lady, and they let her talk. Now, folks, this is not CNN, and it's not Fox News. I mean, if you want to listen to those, that's fine. This was a foreign news station. They interviewed this lady, and she cried for 5 minutes while she told the story of being under the rubble and trying to get a hold of her children and pull them out of an apartment building built out of concrete that had collapsed on top of them. She told the story, and it's winter over there, about walking and being cold and standing around a fire, and she continued to cry, and she told about going into a camp, and as I listened to it, I thought, who is hearing the cries of the world? Have we lost our understanding and our passion that we're not watching and seeing what's going on in the world today? And I thought, we're in those times. You know, it's earthquakes, it's national disasters, but it's a time of troubles. Have we not had an increase in tornadoes? You know, when I look back, and I was amazed looking at some of my notes, in this century, the 21st century, there was a tsunami, killed over 300,000 people. That's a tidal wave. Can I tell you that if you lived in Sri Lanka when that happened, you would think the world's coming to an end. If you live over in those places where these things are going on today, and even in Haiti, where they've had more earthquakes, and the entire country of Haiti right now is being run by gangs. They don't even have any type of government. Folks, we've got missionaries over there that we need to pray for. And I read these things and I see, folks, can I tell you, based on the Word of God, things are lining up to line right up with what the Word of God says, that Jesus is coming and we need to be watching. Amen. Natural disasters, medical disasters. I looked at this and I thought, wow. You know, here's what I had from my old notes. It was AIDS, cancers, bird flu, swine flu, stop. Now I've added COVID-19, monkeypox, and God only knows what's out there that we don't know about. Now, folks, I'm not too worried because I have a heavenly home and I'm going there. But I am concerned about what are my loved ones going to face? What kind of people have we lost that we love to these things because of what we're seeing in the world today? I want to tell you what we got to do. The scripture said it 4 times in 6 verses. Watch. He said watch. He said watch and watch again because things are lining up for the return of Christ. What about the national debt? You know, you've got your natural disasters, medical disasters, and then you have economical disasters. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm spending all my time trying to get ready for retirement. God whispered in my ear, you may not need it. How many $1 trillion of national debt? We're going to have to either raise the debt ceiling or cut something just to keep going. Then you begin to look at what's going on, world economic problems, gas shortages and shortages of this and shortages of that. Now we can add supply chain issues. You ever need your air conditioner fixed? And they said, we'll get the part in 6 weeks, and it's the middle of July. Watch. You know, it needs to be aware of what's going on around you. It also means to be listening for the sounds. You know, the Bible says over there in 1 Thessalonians, and you go over to the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. He said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's our loved ones that have already gone to be with the Lord. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, folks, what this is talking about is not that we don't miss them, we don't sorrow, we don't cry, we do. But it's not like the world, because my loved ones that are saved are with Jesus. And I will see them again. I miss them. And sometimes I do argue with God about it. I say, God, you ever told God, you just made a mistake here. They should have been here longer. If you didn't, you're better than I am. You ought to preach. Says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For if we this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. But it goes on and says a couple of things you need to pay attention to. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And here's the good verse. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Here's what he's saying. We're going home one day. And you need to be watching. But you also need to be listening. Now, I believe there's going to be a shout, and there's going to be a trumpet, and there's going to be a sound. And here's something I don't know, but I'm telling you I'm listening for it. I'm not sure everybody's even going to hear it. But if you're saved by the grace of God, when the Lord shouts, when the trumpet blows, and when he cries, children come forth, you as a Christian, you're going to hear it, and you're going home to be with the Lord. I've told the story before. I was sitting in a meeting in a conference room, and a girl had her phone set to where it would play a trumpet when it rang. We were sitting there, and that thing went off, and I jumped. And I looked at them, but I was testing it. I said, did y'all hear that? They looked at me funny. I got to give them a little mini sermon. Oh, there's going to be a trumpet sound. The children of God are going home. You got to be listening for the sounds. Can I tell you, there's going to be two kinds of people. Those that are leaving and those that are left. Some people say, well, I just don't believe that. Go back to the first concern that I had. Some people just don't believe in God. It's a godless society. Some people like to think that the grace of God is so great that in the end everybody is going to be saved. How are you going to be saved if you don't even want God or believe God? It's not about how good you are compared to somebody else. The question is, have you ever accepted Christ? Are you willing to accept Him? Are you willing to acknowledge that He is the Creator and that you are not? Now, I didn't ask you if you understood everything I'm talking about. I didn't ask you how many Bible verses you could quote. If you understood eschatology, are you willing to just say, yes, I believe in God? Because when He does come, and I'm hoping He comes sooner than later, it would be all right with me if I don't need to worry about that retirement stuff. Be like that preacher that got on the plane and got in there beside. You ever sit down beside somebody that likes to talk 90 to nothing? Every now and then I've even thought about looking at them and trying to talk in a foreign language so they think I can't speak English. And they'll leave me alone. He said, I sat down beside this woman. She started talking to me. She wanted to know all about me. What do you do for a living? And he said, I started talking to her. And he said, you know, I help people. Oh, you help people. You help people. And he didn't tell her he was a minister to start with. And he went on. He said, you know, and yeah. He said, well, you have good benefits. He said, the retirement plan is out of this world. Finally, when she found out he was a minister, she wasn't quite as interested. The retirement plan for us is out of this world. And here's something that's very important, church. Here's what it means to be watchful. It means to be at your best. You know, if we believe the Lord is coming back, what kind of position should we be in? You see, I believe it means that we should be paying attention, but I believe it means that we should be at our best. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Ephesians chapter 5, just a couple of verses in the 13th verse, it says, but all things that are reproved or exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now that's an old word, but what that means is cautiously. See then that you walk cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know what those verses are saying? They're saying, watch. Watch. You know, the truth is, in the world that we live in today, here's where we're at. The world can put a pull on you. It'll pull you in. Society and all that's going on in society and the internet and all the things that are so quick to the fingers, they will pull you in. But as Christians, what we need is God to give us understanding and vision and spiritual understanding that we would be able to watch and understand that we're getting really close. How close? I don't know. Doesn't it say, no man knows the day? Some will try to still predict it. They're still trying to predict it. I've seen some of these take the Jewish calendar and they take this calendar and they take this many a weeks and this many a days and they try to tell you the things that are going to happen and why it can't happen. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe He's coming. I believe He's coming soon. And when I see what's going on in the world, my message to the church is be ready today, because he may come tomorrow. And if he doesn't come tomorrow, you still, as a leader in your home, as a spiritual leader in your home, need to be able to lead your home through whatever we face. You know, there's a fault line that runs right through Mississippi and Tennessee. There are fault lines that run through California, they say, that are so great that if there was an eruption of one of those major volcanoes, that part of the country wouldn't exist, and a third of the United States would actually be covered in ash. Oh, that scares people. Watch. There's so many things going on in the world today. To be honest with you, when I have this conversation with my sons, I'm not worried about what's going on in Ukraine. I'm not worried about China. I'm worried about a country and a society that can riot the way they do and destroy everything that so many people have attempted to build just because they have the opportunity. It's a godless society that concerns me most. Watch. You know, if we understand what Daniel wrote, and he told them in chapter 12, verse 4, in the last days many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. They used to say, and I can remember it, knowledge doubles every 7 years, every 5 years, every year. I've got to the point that when we do anything to upgrade any kind of technology at work, I want a lease. I don't want to buy it. Why? Because the time they delivered, it's obsolete. All that is, folks, is a fulfillment of the Scripture. I'd understand people questioning me a little bit more if you rode a horse to work and a horse to church with outside plumbing here. But some of you drove a car that has a button you can push that won't even leave its lane. Are we watching? Are we watching? I'm going to ask them to come and get a song. I've delivered what God would have me to, and I feel like that's enough. But I want you to understand, I see a lot of things going on in the world today that makes me as a Christian be more watchful than ever. And I don't know if the Lord's going to come today or tomorrow, but one thing is certain, and I know this for sure, at some point he's going to come for me. At some point he's going to come for you. Whether he comes for us collectively, that's everybody, that's the rapture of the church, or he comes for us individually, we need to be ready to stand before God. And based on what I see going on in the world today, not everybody's ready. Ask you, if you would, please, to rise to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart, I want you to know that God loves you, God cares for you. You can come, you can pray. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can ask him, and I assure you the door of mercy is open. God's mercy is still being poured out. If you've got something going on in your life, you just want to pray, you want to talk to God, you want to ask God for something, you can do that. Maybe you just want to come and thank God, you can do that too. But at this time, the altars are open if you'd like to move. Amen.